Side Hustle Show 163, how to build a six-figure blog in under a year.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where we're talking about ideas, action, and results in building job-free income streams. Today, I want to plant some ideas in your head about just what's possible with an ad-monetized blog site. Now, conventional wisdom says these types of niche sites may take months or years to build and worry about Google rankings and all this stuff, but my guest has managed to fast-track that growth curve with some pretty unique strategies. So I'm excited to introduce John Dykstra, who writes the excellent marketing blog, fatstacksblog.com, one of my go-to sites for learning about this stuff. And he's actually earning tens of thousands of dollars each month from his niche sites, which, as we'll get into on the call, are really more of kind of branded authority lifestyle blogs around broad verticals, pretty different from the traditional niche site model we've covered in the past. Now, we're about to dive into his niche selection rules, his content strategies, his monetization methods, and his best traffic drivers. And of course, as is per the usual, you can download the free PDF highlight reel with all of John's top tips from this call at sidehustlenation.com/fatstacks or through the link in the episode description of your podcast player app. But without further ado, let's just dive right into it. Hey, John, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Hey, Nick, thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. John is a former attorney turned full-time entrepreneur. He runs the excellent site fatstacksblog.com. I think you're going to love the content over there. And today we're going to talk about niche sites, but not really in the traditional sense of finding an exact match keyword domain and trying to drive Google traffic and make pennies with AdSense. I'm trying to talk about a different type of niche site, which is a little bit faster to earn money, and the dollar figures tend to be a lot bigger. And John is the go-to guy when it comes to building these types of sites. So to dive into this, I want to talk first about where everyone starts in niche site selection is and that's in selecting a niche, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, that's a big part of it for sure.
So what kind of criteria do you look for? Are you doing long tail pro keyword research, or, you know, how are you deciding what types of niches to get into?
Well, that's a good question. First off, I spend probably 3 to 5 weeks researching a niche before I even decide to go into it. I look at all the sites that I can find. I really look carefully about, like, can I generate really good content with my resources? Can I do that? Am I interested in doing it? Because, you know, this is gonna be something that's gonna be for years, and you, even if you outsource, you're gonna have to have an interest in the topic. But in terms of, like, looking at the metrics, I actually look to see if there's really big sites in the space. If there are huge, huge sites, and then what I always do is I go down. Most of them have, like, a little advertise link at the bottom in the footer, and they'll often disclose their traffic numbers and their social media stuff. And I'll check out all their social media channels. And if I see, you know, the biggest sites in the space are getting, like, 8 million visits a month or page views a month, I'm like, all right, potential is massive, obviously. And then, of course, they usually have, like, a million fans, and their engagement's pretty good and all the rest of it. So then I'm like, okay, well, that's a niche that has real potential. I don't want to go into a niche that's going to be capped at 600,000 visits a month. I want to go in a niche where, you know, realistically, with, you know, 3, 4, 5 years of hard work, 3, 4, 5 million page views a month is possible, because that's, you know, that's an asset. That's a big business.
Yeah, so these are more broad topic areas than, you know, the best survival knife, or, you know, how to find the best Buffalo nickels or something, like, really,
absolutely,
really narrow.
In fact, it's not really a niche. I call it a vertical, because I cover – well, I'll give you an example. All right, a recent site I bought, and I bought it because it's exactly the type of site I like to publish, and I'm still working on monetizing it and everything else. But I bought it, and it covers pop culture, and specifically it covers film, TV, video games, and comic books. Okay, we're going to expand that topically eventually, but, you know, that is, like, four niches in one. right? And you could actually niche down to like if you're really into like micro niche sites, you'd do like maybe like a horror films website alone. That alone could be a pretty big site. But our site is so much broader, and I like that. I like the flexibility, and the potential traffic is enormous. And I want to expand that topically. We're kicking around some ideas about, you know, what direction to take it. But so yeah, I like really broad sites. But that said, I don't go so broad as to be like a BuzzFeed where I'm going to cover like pretty much every topic under the sun. As attractive as that is, the amount of resources you need to pull that off successfully is enormous. I mean, you need like a full staff of paid writers to do that. And I'm not there.
So you're looking for something reasonably broad, but still under one umbrella. So it could be like, would skiing be a reasonable niche to tackle?
Skiing, and I might even go up one level to maybe extreme sports,
okay,
or even outdoor.
Any other metrics that you're looking for other than like, you know, random? So you can use like something like compete.com to look for the top players in each vertical to estimate their traffic, and they might disclose that on their advertising page. Any other metrics or clues that you're looking for that say this might be something worth diving into?
Yeah, sure. I'll quickly do a keyword planner for the main seed keywords. You know, that's a no-brainer. That takes all of like 3 minutes.
Is there a metric or is there a baseline like that's interesting for you?
Millions or close to a million for the seed keyword. That's going to be pretty big. And then, you know, when you start lumping all the long tails in there, you're going to end up with potentially millions of traffic. I mean, that's all I really want. And I will glance at the CPC value for that seed keyword. Like most niches don't have this problem, but let's just say you stumbled on one and the CPC value is like 2 cents. Probably would not go into it. It's not very commercially viable.
Where do you get that CPC estimate?
Over in the column. That's what Google's telling you that advertisers would expect to pay for a click on their search results page. Usually, probably in the top 3 spots.
And okay? That's in their keyword planner too.
It's right in there. It's one of the columns. It'll say CPC. So, like an awesome number is 3, but you know, don't rule in on a niche if it's not 3. Like if it's over 50 cents, 75 cents, it's a viable it's commercially viable. It's good. A buck is sweet. You know, aside from that, you know, I just get it. Actually what's really important for me, once that all sort of pans out is how engaging are people within the niche? Like, does it work on Pinterest? Are the big Facebook pages, are they getting like good like and share volume? That's important to me because I think that those, I like those activities. I love social media as a traffic source. So that's, you know, when I choose a niche, I want a niche that's going to work in social media. I'm not just an organic search guy. I'm not just a paid traffic guy. I kind of like everything. And so that's important. So I'll look at that. And like, it doesn't have to be like Upworthy viral. It doesn't have to be Viral Nova viral levels. I don't expect that. What I expect is sort of like, let's say you see a Facebook page with 500,000 fans, and over the last week, they're getting like maybe like, you know, anywhere from 20 to 150 shares for some of their more popular posts. When I see sort of that activity, I know that they're sending some pretty good traffic to their site with that share volume. And that's not really considered viral at all. That's just good engagement.
Okay. And at this point, you're just looking at what else is already out there pre-existing and saying, okay, I can build an asset. There's obviously an interest here. I can build a website to compete with this or to...
Absolutely. And actually a really important... I did two important things when I set out, especially with my most successful site. One is I asked, how can I actually contribute to the niche? I know it sounds sort of like all kind of airy-fairy or anything, but really I wanted to create a site that was actually have some unique offerings. And I don't mean like I come up with a unique post concept, but I mean in a presentation concept, okay? So what I was seeing was a lot of pagination, all right? A lot of sites that were paginating or using slideshows. And for some niches, it's not a big deal, especially like image-rich sites. Okay, that's not a big deal. That can serve. But what I liked, and one of the reasons I like BuzzFeed a lot as a site, is because they don't paginate you. They scroll. They let their users scroll down, and that's really popular. So that was an editorial decision I set out from the beginning, and I've stuck to. I looked carefully and looked at every big site in the space. And I'm like, okay, how are they getting their content? What's their focus of their content? And I started to see patterns. And then I'm like, okay, well, I can use that idea from this site. I can use this idea for that site. And we created our own unique concept of posts. And we've evolved it since inception. But so now we have unique offerings that other websites in the space actually don't have in terms of how we present the information.
Now let's talk about what kind of information you are presenting. Like, there's obviously some content strategy that has to go into building out these sites and maintaining them as well.
Yeah, I really love image rich. So a lot of images, some video. I like that in a site. I like, because images, well, they're popular in social media, so it makes that easy, right? So image-centric niches are great. So that's something else I look at. But I wouldn't rule it out, because my pop culture site, that's actually really all about the text. We do really in-depth reviews and commentary and such. So I don't rule it out, but that was what I was looking for the first time around when I built this, my biggest site. So how we present it, I don't really want to say that they're galleries, but it's really a mix of a lot of images with a lot of text. So it's not just images, it's not just text, it's a mix. And we invest a lot of time, especially in our, what I call our pillar posts. And we have published 5,000 word posts with 40 images that are really researched into the topic that's covering. So it's a combination of eye candy, if you will, along with the information that's well researched to support the eye candy. And that's sort of the combo we're doing.
So would it be something like on the skiing example, like the 35 ski resorts you must ride before you die or something like that?
That's a great example. Yeah. And of course, the images you can get would be awesome, right? And you could probably get them for free from the various resorts. You just ask them.
And that's the next question. I was like, do you worry about like image licensing or, you know, having to buy?
Yeah, I'll definitely answer that. But in terms of that example post you gave, we would do that. We'd get the images, but we wouldn't leave it at that. What we would do is we would invest time and research and do little background write-ups of each resort, a couple paragraphs underneath, or maybe more than a couple paragraphs. So it's actually informative, right? People will read it and they'll actually be able to get some information and possibly links to more information if they're interested in that, okay? I love adding tidbits, interesting facts, hot tips, stuff like that into posts. Now, we don't do that all the time, but let's say you're covering a ski post like that. If you could find some interesting tidbit, like, this is Jennifer Aniston's favorite ski thing or something. I don't know. That's just kind of dumb, right? But just to sort of throw the reader off and we're like, oh, that's interesting kind of thing, right? Anytime you can get a reader to sort of think in their head like, oh, that's interesting, I didn't know that, I think you succeeded with the piece of content. Now, to answer your question about images, we get permission for every image we use. We buy licenses with stock photos. Yes, we use stock photos, but we don't rely on them exclusively. But over the 2 years now of published the site, we have relationships with many, many, many big websites. They've given us carte blanche to use their images, but we've asked them, we've become partners with them. And of course, we always give full attribution. And once we've never had problems because we give full attribution under the images where it's required. We do outreach every week for more images. We will contact individual website owners and say, hey, we love your image. We're putting together this post. Would we be able to use it? We're going to give you a link, blah, blah, blah. And we get more no's than yeses. It's just the number. You just got to contact, 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 contact. And at the end of the day, I can rest easy because I know we have written permission for every image that we use on the site.
So that's one content post idea, but where, like, you got to keep it spinning, you got to keep this stuff coming. So do you have an engine or a formula that you use to come up with the content?
I would say the site's evolved. What we do is I'm the tester. I'm the content tester. So I will constantly put together, I'll spend a few hours and put together a new type of piece of content, right? Whether it's a list or it's a how-to or it's a curated piece or it's sometimes I've been experimenting with some really short pieces of content that serve as supporting of the galleries, okay? And then we'll interlink between those, and so we'll test those. And so I'll put together a test thing. We'll see how it performs, with organic search and social media and all that. If it works, we keep it. If not, then we dump it. So right now we have about four main post formats. And we actually even have names for them. It just makes it easy. So I can, you know, contact the writers and say, I want these topics, all of this type of post. And they'll know exactly how to do it because they've done so many of them. So
it was list posts. Then you say
there are list posts, but they're really spins on galleries. Really, they're different types of galleries that we do. But we've also added more research, just text-based stuff, where, you know, tips or how-tos or tutorials. That's been a new one we've added recently. Okay, and then late last year, the more recent one was, let's say we have an image of a ski resort. Okay, and we do a little write-up underneath that within the main gallery. What we'll do is we'll do a whole new post dedicated to that one ski resort as a separate post, and then we'll interlink the two, right? And then we'll do more of a write-up on the individual. We'll call that an individual image type post sort of concept, right? So the whole thing kind of evolves into all different types of posts that we're doing. And then the other type of post is we promote a lot of products, mostly physical. So we have a whole bunch of different types of product posts that we do. Galleries, reviews, that sort of thing that promote products with affiliate links. So that'd be another type of article. And then we do feature posts where we'll feature a particular company or brand or something like that. They're not really sponsored posts, but they're partners we work with. And so, you know, they help us out and we help them out.
So after you hit publish, and we'll circle back to this, you mentioned the affiliate stuff, so we'll circle back on the monetization thing. After you hit publish, what happens in terms of driving traffic to that page? You know, it's one thing to sit back and try and play the SEO game away from traffic from Google, but I get the impression that that's not the main tactic here.
More and more so it actually is, but we of course promote it within a day or two on social media. We'll pin a bunch of the images. We obviously do a link post on Facebook. And then if that link post on Facebook is good,
you've created a whole new fan site for this niche site.
Oh, yeah. It has its own Facebook fan page. Yeah, absolutely. We have a whole bunch of Pinterest boards just for the site as well. We've covered all the social media channels. We do them all. The big traffic drivers are Pinterest and Facebook, though. But we do them all. Just with the Facebook, we'll post it. If it performs well organically, we will boost it. And then we'll see how the boosting works. And then if it works really, really well on boosting, we will roll out a whole suite of Facebook ad campaigns. We'll try everything and see what will earn it the most money. And then we'll circle back. We'll see how much it earns that particular post. We'll see what it earns on an RPM basis, which is revenue per 1,000 visits. So we'll know how much we can spend. Then we'll review the Facebook ad campaigns and see what we're spending per click. And probably have to pause a bunch because they're not doing very well. But hopefully, you know, we get 1, 2, 3, or 5 ad sets that are coming in really well and are costing less per 1,000 visitors than we earn. And we run them. We're running as long as we can.
All right. Let's dive into this monetization and this paid traffic engine. I think this is a really powerful thing. My shoe business was built on paid traffic. And so that makes sense to me. It's like, if I can, you know, buy traffic for 50 cents and it's worth a dollar to me, I will make that trade all day long. So you mentioned affiliate product reviews and stuff like that. How else are these sites making money?
Display ads mostly is the lion's share of the money, although we really want to get our affiliate commissions up to be 50% of total site revenue. We're not anywhere close to that, but that's the long-term goal. As you know, I mean, affiliate money is mostly made from organic search. I mean, it's intent. It's buyer intent. They got to show up to your page with a certain keyword with the buyer intent behind it, click through and buy. Just blasting a whole bunch of social media to a list of product affiliate links. It's just, you know, it's so random, so random. So it's display ads. And I have spent the last 3 years, because it's not my first go around with this type of site, testing everything. I mean, I don't know how many ad networks we've worked with. I don't know how much AdSense testing and all the other networks we've done. It's goes on and on. Always searching to increase the RPM. But in terms of buying traffic to this type of site, it's you know, Facebook makes it possible, because if you can, you know, because Facebook charges you, like, the better your ad performs, the lower per click, which is such a wonderful thing that they offer. Because if you come up with really engaging content, you're getting, you can get truckloads of traffic for so cheap. And so you don't have to have huge RPMs to actually make a profit on it.
So this AdSense, Media.net, like who do you like for the display ads?
Obviously AdSense, Media.net. I'm testing Rev Content. We use polling software Opinion Stage right now, and they have ads built in. We do a rev share with them. And what else? Oh, GumGum image overlay ads. I'm working with the Blogger Network for some additional ads. Criteo is fantastic for being able to set CPM floors. So, you know, that's all on the site right now. Now, I want to preface this by saying my pages are long. We're talking like 40 images with full text, 2,000-3,000 words of text. So these are long. If you have, you know, a 500-word article with one image, you are not going to use all of these ad networks. That would be ridiculous. Okay, so you got to use your judgment. I do care. I don't want my site to be cluttered with ads, but because it's so long, we have ads that we specifically place toward the bottom half of the site. We have ads that we specifically place at the top, and then we have, you know, sidebar and under content, and, you know, it's all strategically set up. Obviously, the better earners are top, and the lower earners are down.
And it's something you can test as you go along, I imagine. So
it's constant testing. So, like, for instance, what I've done recently is, and you want to watch your cannibalization, right? Because for every new ad network you add on, let's say they pay half of what AdSense would pay. Well, you obviously want people to click the AdSense ad. If they click the lower paying, that's a person that may have clicked AdSense. So it's this kind of juggle, right? It's sort of this give and take thing. But, you know, recently, like below, you know, from image number 12 down to say 40 in our posts, we had nothing monetized in there, like really, like no ads, because we pretty much maxed out all our ads and above that. So, you know, I'm like, you know, I bet we could get some CPM ads in there, and, you know, maybe get, you know, $2-3 CPM, which would be sweet. So we found a company that does ads, the Blogger Network, and they're like, yeah, we can do that for you. Obviously they wanted to be above the fold, but I'm not going to do that. But we peppered their ads every 5 images, so it's still not very ad dense, right? It's every 5 images with text in between, right? But we put one of their ads, and we schedule it, you know, from image 15, and then after image 20, after image 25, and so on. And so now we've monetized the bottom half of those long posts that we never have before. And it's just stuff like that. You know, you just sort of figure it out as you go along. Now, here's the other thing. I am admittedly in a higher paying niche. I'm not in the highest paying niche, but I'm in a higher paying niche. It doesn't really matter what the RPM is. What matters is the spread between the cost of your traffic and your RPM.
Yes. And you can track that to the page level?
You can. I mean, you can do it in AdSense easily. Just they have a URL tool. I can't remember what it's called exactly, but you can paste your URL in there, and it'll tell you exactly what that URL makes with AdSense revenue. Now, here's the trouble, right? If you use additional ad networks, you got to guesstimate, right? Like Media.net is awesome in every respect, except the reporting is really limited. You can't tell on a URL basis, so there's some guesswork involved.
So you post on Facebook, you run some. Actually, before that, like, how are you building the initial fan base to these Facebook pages?
Well, when you run Facebook ads, this is something I didn't anticipate. When you run Facebook ads, even if you're doing like clicks to website, and obviously if you're doing engagement ads, if you spend $100 a day, you're going to get a lot of fans, right? They're going to become fans and like your page because they see the ads. So not only are you driving traffic to your site, you're getting fans. For a long time, the strategy was get a lot of fans, post your content to your newsfeed, and drive free traffic to your website. You know, invest up front and then, you know, make all your profits in the back end, right? Then reach kind of plummeted, and that didn't really work as much. But here's the thing, reach can still be very effective. And I got involved recently on a new site, and the organic Facebook traffic that's being generated today, after everybody thinks reach is dead, is amazing. I mean, I just can't believe it. So if you work your Facebook page well, and you're in the right niche, it won't work for every niche, you could still generate a lot of free traffic. So if that's the case for your niche, if you can get lots of engagement on your newsfeed page, you certainly want to, you know, maybe invest, focus on fan acquisition rather than just driving clicks straight to your website. But regardless of what you do, a collateral benefit of advertising in Facebook are new fans, which is great. Like, even if you don't get the most engagement, at least it's still a traffic source.
And so I've been playing around a little bit with Facebook ads lately. And so I ran a couple different ones. One was a post click ad. That was the, you know, stated objective of the ad. And the other one was a post page engagement ad. And one of them had around 50 cents a click to the link or click to the website. And the other one had like a penny per post engagement, which sounds like a lot better, but it's hard to say like how many of those people actually clicked.
Yeah. Okay. I take it with your question. Your goal is to try to find out how much it was costing to get someone to your site, right?
Well, that's especially if you want to have somebody eventually, if the goal is eventually to have them click on a display ad and make this like arbitrage spread in the middle, how does that?
What you need to do, it's actually a really simple solution to what you just said there. That second example you gave where you had the 1 cent engagement.
Yeah. Is that good? Is that good, by the way?
That's really good. That's awesome. But you can actually, you can customize your reports in the ads manager, and you can, there's a option to put in the CPC or the cost per click to the website. Okay. It's not by default in the reports for that type of ad, but you can select that, and then you'll actually see what it actually cost you. So you can just tweak your reports. I create a custom report for all my ads, and then I always go to that report because I want to see what it costs to get people to my website. So yeah, very, very easy solution.
Do you typically run post page engagement or a click objective?
Oh man, I have done everything. I'm constantly trying new things. I think when I first started the whole thing, I did clicks to website ads. When the carousel ads came out, I jumped on board. They've been a huge hit for me. The carousel ads are where you can have 3 to 5 links with 3 to 5 images in them. They're fantastic for clicks to website. I've done a lot of dark posts, which is geared toward engagement, but they can result in really low cost traffic to site. So now what my big thing is doing is actually I'm really investing in improving my organic Facebook reach. I have several hundred thousand fans at this point, but I've just ignored it. I haven't really tapped that as much as I should. So I'm doing a big push. I've hired a consultant to help me out to improve with new ideas and breathe some new life into this thing. So what we're doing is we're doing a lot of engagement ads. So we'll do a link post. So it's where you don't upload an image. You just copy and paste your website URL into the status update. It'll auto-populate with an image and then a title. And that's a great post because when someone clicks it, they go straight to your website. And so the ones of those that are doing well organically, I'm boosting those. And I haven't been doing it for very long, but the results have been excellent.
So you're basically building full-on brands for these different sites. And I'm curious, are they somewhat anonymous or are they under your name? Or you say, hey, I'm John, I'm talking about skiing, and this is something I'm passionate about, and this is like my skiing blog.
Yeah, good question. They're brands. My name's not attached to them. They're bigger than me. There's so many people working on them. Like the site.
Sorry, how many on your team now versus say 2 years ago when you're getting started?
2 years ago, there was me.
Well, that's good to hear. You're saying like, just drop $100 a day on Facebook. That's kind of intimidating for people starting out without the revenue side of it yet.
Yeah, start out at $2 a day. I started at five. Okay, and I ran five, and I increased it incrementally. And you know what? There's going to be months that you can't advertise on Facebook. December. I mean, you're competing with e-commerce. You're not going to get the rates you need. There's going to be other months you can't advertise. There's going to be months where your ad RPM also drops just for whatever reason. And you're not going to get it up and you're going to have to pause your ads. Buying traffic is this thing that's labor intensive, needs management every day. And some months it's just not going to work very well. So keep that in mind. But when it works, make hay when the sun shines. All right. In terms of how many people, each site is different. Right now I'm really focusing in terms of these what I call B2C niche sites, working on 3 of them intensively. I would say for one, there's about 7 or 8 people involved. Now, they're not all full-time. They all have their own particular contributions that they're doing. And then another one is interesting. It's the one I bought. This is a model I've never used, but we actually have a whole community that contributes a lot of free content. I've now offered paid content for certain types of pieces that I want to publish, so we'll pay them for that. So there's literally hundreds of writers for this site, and they do it for free because these are topics they like and they like to contribute and see their work published, and they're aspiring journalists. So it's something totally new to me, free content, which I've always had to pay for it. And then another site that I'm involved with, it's a joint venture. There's probably only 4 people. So it's smaller. We're ramping up. The thing is, it's like even when I start a new site now, I can seed it with some money, but I hate being in the red for anything, like as a contained project. So I like to see profits before I spend money. And I know so many people that are like, they invest like $4,000 that they don't have into a concept they don't know that will work and potentially lose that money. I'm always like, I don't want to spend a nickel except for some $5 hosting until I make, the money back. And then I'll take that money and invest it.
And that means you're doing it yourself until you start to see that revenue.
And even now I'll start new projects. I don't want to put a nickel into it until I see money from it. I mean, sure, you're going to maybe put like, hosting and a professional theme or something, but that's $100. And I want to see it make money before I do anything.
Well, John, this is pretty fascinating business, and I want to thank you for taking the time to join me. Anything else? I'll ask you for your number one tip in a second. Anything else that people wanting to start these kind of niche brands should be aware of?
Something I didn't talk about much is the importance of organic search. I started this stuff. Oh, I was not into organic search. I hated it so much because, Penguin came and, that impacted my business back then. And, it's hard to get past that. And I was just like, I'm not going to do that. And then I had a lot of success with social media after that in different niches. And so I'm like, social media. Here's the thing, really what's made this a success is diversified traffic. Don't ignore organic search, but don't be 100% dependent. Don't ignore social media, but don't be 100% dependent on it. So, you're never really worried if you have a bad social media day or week, it's not the end of the world because you've got organic search coming in too. So, and if you can make paid work, well, all the better. So really, don't try to game the search engines. Don't invest thousands and thousands into it in the beginning, but don't ignore it either. Do your on-site page optimization, network, get the signals, publish good content, and, hope for the best. And in the long run, hopefully after 6 to 18 months, you see some good organic search. And the final thing I didn't make clear before, paid traffic to content websites will not always work. It will not work for every niche. I wish it did. It won't. I mean, I'm sure maybe there's some copywriters who are absolute magicians with creating viral ads that can make any niche work. I'm not that person. So don't just think like no matter what you do, you're going to be able to buy traffic. It's not necessarily the case. That doesn't mean it's not a good niche to go into though.
Okay. No, that's fair. That's good to hear on both the Google side and the social side is there's a lot of ways to get this done. And the focus first is, picking a niche where you think there's a good audience size and good revenue opportunity. And also something that you're interested in and can create a valuable contribution to the world and that the people would want to come to.
Yeah, absolutely. And test your RPM. Recently, just somebody asked me to help them with their monetization, their revenue for display ads. And I jumped in there and we just tweaked some ad placements and that sort of thing. We tripled the RPM for display ads in 24 hours. So ad placement's really important.
Well, John, thank you so much. Everyone, you can check him out at fatstacksblog.com. Again, tons of really in-depth and valuable content on everything we talked about here today. So I recommend you check that out. And John, we'll wrap it up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Publish a website people like and that you like because it'll work. You have to like doing it and people have to like visiting it. That doesn't mean it can't be commercial. My stuff's super commercial, but we have a really high return visitor rate. And that's because they like the site and we publish every day. You can monetize almost any niche and just, if it's a great, great site that's popular and people like, and there's a huge market for it, just should work, and be patient. Be patient. It's not going to happen in 24 hours.
No, you got to invest in building the infrastructure and then putting this stuff in motion. But really cool stuff, John. Thank you so much. You know, we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks a lot.
All righty. What do you think of that chat with John?
He's definitely someone worth following in this space. If you're into ad monetized sites, I think we could have gone on talking, nerding out about this stuff for a lot longer. If you're into ad monetized sites, or if you're thinking about building, buying one, definitely check out fatstacksblog.com. Biggest takeaway for me, I think, here is look, I'm not trying to game any algorithm or really even stress too much about SEO, but I'm going to go out trying to build the most valuable, shareable resource I can to serve this niche, to serve this vertical, and I'm going to be strategic about my content, my marketing, but ultimately it's about building that genuinely helpful and that genuinely helpful or entertaining brand. And I know where I failed with niche sites in the past, it was due to a number of factors, like due to my lack of original content ideas, a lack of interest in the subject matter, and maybe a lack of understanding how to get traffic to that site. Now, one example was in trying to build a wine-related site, which actually, based on this conversation with John, might be a compelling niche to get into, but I really had no business building it because I don't know anything about wine other than I'll drink it. So everything I published was kind of like this half-baked Me Too content that was just a thinly veiled attempt to get someone to buy an affiliate product. Now, had I set out instead to build the true branded authority site about wine, you know, who knows? Maybe that could have been a winning side hustle instead of a losing one. Now, in any case, you can find all the notes and links from this week's episode, along with a free PDF highlight reel with all of John's top blog building tips at sidehustlenation.com/fatstacks, all one word. Now, this edition of the Side Hustle Show is brought to you by Website Magazine. It's a real-life free print magazine and digital, of course. And the cool part is it's completely free subscription. I've been receiving it for years after some guy randomly signed me up for it at a conference, and I was understandably a little bit skeptical, but hey, no strings attached. I read it every month and keep up with the latest online business trends, marketing tips, some cool apps, and other resources I use on a daily basis. You can claim your free subscription at sidehustlenation.com/WM. That's sidehustlenation.com/WM for your free subscription to Website Magazine. Check it out. I think you're going to like it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Love doing the show each and every week and hearing from you on the ideas and tactics you're putting into action. And so on that note, let's go out there, make something happen this week, and I'll catch you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.
Thanks for listening to the Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.